Alicia Burton Steele is an award-winning photojournalist who is now a professor at the University of Mississippi. Last month, by way of a phone interview, we spoke about her book, Delta Jewels. There were many more aspects to discuss, and fortunately, Alicia is in Atlanta for a conference this week. She joins us live in the studio now, Alicia Burton Steele. Welcome back to City Lights.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
And we're happy you are live under the City Lights this time. If you would, please give a recap, and for those who did not hear our first conversation, some background on the birth of Delta Jewels.
Okay. Be my pleasure. So when I moved to Mississippi and I started to drive into the Delta, I saw scenes that reminded me of my childhood.
Which was in Pennsylvania, we should add. This is a Yankee-born woman moving to the Mississippi Delta.
Yes, never been to Mississippi, never thought about moving to Mississippi, just not on my radar. But when I saw, I was taking a class into the Delta for a school project, and I started to see scenes that reminded me of my childhood. Not necessarily the cotton fields, but the sharecropping homes, the farm homes, the landscape reminded me of visiting my grandmother's family in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And I wanted to pick up the phone and call Graham and say, "You're not going to believe what I'm seeing." But I couldn't. She had passed away 20 years ago. And I started to reflect of all the missed opportunities as a granddaughter. I was so busy fighting her about hair and makeup and rules and boys that I didn't sit down to talk to her to learn more about her.
But that's what young girls do.
I know, but when you're young, you think you're going to live forever. And you think your family and your loved ones are going to as well. And she passed away when I was 24. And I just didn't know a lot about her. I mean, I knew she raised me, and I knew what it was like growing up in the house with her, but I didn't know what her childhood was like. Mm-hmm. And I remember her telling me how she met my grandfather because she got married when she was 17, and I wasn't allowed to date until I was 18. So that was a fight. I'm like, "You got married at 17. I can't even date." So she would say times were different. But anyway, I started to reflect that I didn't know this woman the way that I should. And I decided I have all these skills. I know photography, I know audio, I know video. Why don't I pay it forward and interview other people's grandmothers? And that was it. It was a project of self-discovery that turned into a book called Delta Jewels.
And it is a gorgeous book. Delta Jewels, In Search of My Grandmother's Wisdom is the full title. It features gorgeous black and white portraits, Alicia Burton Steele photographed, of 54 women who are now, well, more or less your grandmothers as well.
Yes, I have 54 grandmothers telling me when to go to church, how to address my husband, what to cook. I get the phone calls. So, yeah.
Well, last time we talked a good bit about many of the individuals that you portray and ways in which they resembled your grandmother, they helped you better understand your grandmother, or just gave you some greater insight into the lives of a generation of women who endured so much tragedy. This time, I was hoping that you would broach the role of the church itself, because you describe these ladies as the church mothers rather than elders, although I guess elders, gender neutral. But what exactly is the role of the church in the lives of these women in particular in small town Southern black culture?
Well, the first thing that I learned, I interviewed mostly Baptist women, but I know the church mother is also an AMEs, African Methodist. So they live close to the church. I learned that they grew up in small towns and they were within walking distance to the church. So everything was built around the church. And the key to actually finding the women was talking to their pastors first. They hold the pastors to very high esteem, and the role of the church mother is a woman of intelligence, mm-hmm, and esteem in the community, and they have to be asked to be a church mother. So the pastor will formally ask them, and it depends on what the criteria differs, but usually hadn't been married before.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Oh.
There was one mother who was divorced, and when she was asked to be a mother, she said, "Well, you know, I'm divorced." And he said, "We know, but we still want you to be." And so the church mothers help the pastors with marital counseling, premarital counseling. They help prepare communion. They help with organizing dinners or programs at the church.
Almost nun-like from what you describe.
Yes, yes. And they help, especially with the young women, give them words of wisdom or encouragement to live a better life and try to prevent teen pregnancy. So it's a very important role. And my great-grandmother was one. I didn't know that until I did this book, because she was Baptist, but I grew up Presbyterian. And so our church was very conservative compared to, as far as like church service and the choir, very
sure,
conservative. And my great-grandmother, I remember her wearing white in church, and I didn't know what that meant. I mean, you can tell I just didn't ask enough questions. And so when I started interviewing the women for the book, they said white symbolizes purity, and that's why the church mothers wear it. And some church mothers in the book didn't want initially to be church mothers because they wanted to wear their pretty dresses.
Oh. Talking with photojournalist Professor Alicia Burton Steele about Delta Jewels, her book, In Search of My Grandmother's Wisdom. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to City Lights on WABE Atlanta.
Gonna swim that river of Jordan all the way to the other side. Oh, I'm gonna swim that river of Jordan all the way to the other side. Gonna see my loved ones waiting when I cross that great divide. I want to hear my Savior gently whisper, weary pilgrim, come on home. Gonna swim that river of Jordan all the way to my new home. When you come to the river Jordan and you see that it's so wide, don't be afraid, my brother, just swim it to the other side, where our Savior will be waiting for to pull us up on the shore. Gonna swim that river of Jordan there to live forevermore. Oh, I'm gonna swim that river of Jordan all the way to the other side. Gonna see my loved ones waiting when I cross that great divide. I wanna hear my Savior gently whisper, weary pilgrim, come on home. Gonna swim that river of Jordan all the way to my new home. I'm gonna swim that river of Jordan all the way to my new home.
You're listening to City Lights. I'm Lois Reitzes here with you and Alicia Burton Steele, talking about her gorgeous volume, Delta Jewels, In Search of My Grandmother's Wisdom. You are biracial, and you said that in many ways, this writing this book, photographing these women, was a way of you're connecting to your African-American past. How did that impact your life thereafter?
After the women?
Yes. And moving to the Louisiana, the Mississippi Delta.
Well, I'm learning that the women still think I'm white.
Oh.
They think I'm white. I just had a conversation with one of the daughters of one of the mothers. I'm like, I'm not white. But I was raised in a black home. I consider myself black, always have. And much to my mother's dismay, she's not real happy about that.
Why?
Because she said, well, you're just as much me as you are your father. But I said, Mom, I look black. I was raised in a black home. That's how people see me, and that's how I feel. So I'm trying to appreciate a little bit more of that heritage. I mean, I always have, but, you know, I just, society sees me as a black woman, and that's how I identify.
The former U.S. poet laureate, the poet Natasha Trethewey, is also biracial, and once in discussion, she said she was always accepted by the black community. Is that something different than you are experiencing now? Even though her father's family was white, she was never regarded as white and so identified as black.
I feel the same way that she did. I'm finding that people are looking at me a little bit more in the Delta, and they're kind of tilting their head like, what is she, you know? But I've never had that experience before. I was always accepted in high school and college as a black woman, so that wasn't an issue. But I'm noticing the looks down in the Delta.
Interesting. And Is that experience sort of a feeling of reverse discrimination for you?
No, I think it's just a matter of curiosity and wanting to know a little bit more. Plus, I have an accent to them. And
you talk like a Yankee.
I'm a Yankee. They still call us Yankees. My students still call me the Yankee, too. I'm like, whoa, we're still using the word Yankee.
Yeah.
I think as I'm driving more and becoming more familiar with the area, people are starting to recognize me and understand.
Well, in your discovery about the importance of the church in the lives of these women, I wondered if it at any point struck you as ironic or perhaps even sad that there can be such deep faith in the lives of people who've been treated so miserably.
Actually, I think it's inspiring. I know that I would probably be an angry person, but I didn't hear any of the anger.
Mm-hmm.
I heard pride, integrity. They were determined to hold their head up and continue and didn't let much deter them. So I found it inspiring, not sad. I'm hoping to learn more from them on how to overcome adversities in my life and do it with such a positive attitude.
Has it made you more spiritual, more religious?
Now, remember, I have 54 new grandmothers, and they might hear this.
Okay.
No. But it's making me a more patient person, a kinder person, and a better listener, much better.
Isn't that something? Something that one would hope all of the values of the church would bring about. Here with Alicia Burton Steele, talking about Delta Jewels in Search of My Grandmother's Wisdom. You're listening to City Lights on WABE Atlanta. having had this incredible life-altering experience photographing and writing about the Delta Jewels makes me wonder if there is more work to be done yet in the Delta.
There's always work in the Delta. I am enchanted by the area. So education was really important to my grandmother. She used to always say to me that get an education, no one can take that from you.
Yes.
And I didn't understand what she meant until I met these women, you know, at 44 years old, and I started to understand that education was denied to a lot of people. And I wouldn't be my grandmother's granddaughter if I didn't pay it forward. So I started a nonprofit. I just finished my IRS application. It's submitted. I'm so excited. It was 4 months of writing bylaws and narratives and describing. But so the nonprofit is called Delta Jewels Support Foundation.
Oh.
And the idea and the goal is to provide, to get corporate sponsors to help provide $1,000 scholarships to 25 students in the Delta. And they have to do an oral history project.
Oh my, this is what will qualify them.
Yes.
Ah, you are nurturing more young writers and storytellers.
And radio personalities and journalists, yes. I actually have some students who are interested in radio now.
We will have to bring them in.
Oh, that would be great. I know one in particular who would love to be here. But so they have to do an oral history project on someone 65 or older in their life. And they have to do audio and they have to write a 500-word essay on why they chose that person, what they learned from them. And I will archive the audio so that when I go to schools, I can play other students' work. So, and they have to be students from the Delta, the city and county schools only, the very poorest region in the Delta. And so the goal is to raise $25,000 the first year to give 25 students $1,000. But they only get 500 the fall semester. They have to have a 3.0. And then they get the other 500 in the spring.
All right.
So my grandmother would be proud.
I think everyone should be proud. Have you approached Oprah?
I've been trying to get Oprah or Tyler Perry, someone that would appreciate the oral history and the church mother, especially Tyler with the Medea, because a lot of the women in the book are called Medea. That's what their children actually call them.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Now tell us about what led, was there one particular experience that led to the creation of the foundation, or might there be a next book if there's something that led to that?
Well, the scholarship foundation, I wanted to pay it forward for the women. I'm also hoping to give them an honorarium. A lot of them have health problems. Two of them have passed away since the book came out. And so I really wanted to pay it forward that way. That was always the intention. I always had that in mind once I realized I had a book deal. So the next story that I want to tell is about cotton.
Cotton.
Yeah.
Definitely central to the Delta.
It will be oral histories again. I am passionate about collecting the audio.
And is there still hand-picked cotton? Does that still exist?
Not to my knowledge. They have machines now, but the last time that the mothers remember picking cotton was in the 1980s.
Wow, that is not very long ago.
And they paid $30 a day a person in 1983.
You have a wonderful story. In fact, one of my favorite of the jewels. Of course, I never met a jewel I didn't like, and that goes for these as well. But the lady who drove people around for voter registration. Would you talk again about her?
Miss Patton. That's Ruby Patton. Miss Patton is in her 80s. She's a little tiny woman. I don't think she's taller than 5'2", maybe 100 pounds, if that. And the sweetest, softest voice. And she became passionate about voting when her son was running for alderman in Shelby, Mississippi.
I love this story because it has echoes of Chicago, where I grew up. Oh. Please continue.
Okay. Well, I interviewed, it took me 2 or 3 hours to get the story from her. She didn't think that she had much to say, and she didn't think that she was important, which I found to be a common theme with the women. And her son said, well, Mama, did you tell her about the people that you used to take to vote? Now, I had been at her house for an hour and a half at that point, and she wanted to talk about hair, and she wanted to do hair. And I said, Mrs. Patton? So I started to play on words. Mrs. Patton has a passion for politics. And she said, oh, I love voting, love politics. She said, I used to get a van, and I would drive people from when the polls opened from 7 in the morning till 7 at night. She said, even the elder women, I would help bathe them and dress them. And she said, I would take a whole van, and she would say to them before they got out of the van, now it's going to be a while. I don't want you to start any trouble. No talking back. You know, there's a lot of blacks that are going to be in here voting, so just stay calm. She would bring chairs, and they would line up and sit in the chairs. And she did that. And people still ask her who she would vote for. And she said, I'm out of politics now, but people still want to know. This is the kicker. What Mrs. Patton thinks. She talks in third person. So,
like a politician. And, hey, noble endeavor to register voters. And it doesn't hurt when your son's running for alderman either. Alicia Burton Steele, it has been such a privilege, particularly after the Charleston tragedies, to read this book and learn more about your work and see all of the beauty that has resulted from your documenting the Delta Jewels. You're a treasure yourself.
Well, thank you. So are you. I'm thrilled to be sitting across from you.
Thank you. Alicia Burton Steele's book is Delta Jewels, In Search of My Grandmother's Wisdom. She will speak at the Decatur Book Festival on Saturday, September 5th at 10 a.m. And this weekend, Alicia will also be at the National Book Club Conference at the Marriott in Buckhead.